Brothers are requested to come closer, inshallah. Those near the back of the masjid, if you can make your way forward, inshallah. Jazakallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل رب زدني علما صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers, alhamdulillah, it's the fadl, the rahmah, the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us today in the masjid at a time where a large proportion of people will be spending their day in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this selection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed us to come to His house and participate in a gathering wherein the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take place, wherein the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend. And according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angels are also present and covering this type of gathering in which the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. Alhamdulillah, today is our Sanatain graduation. And before we start the program, just a brief explanation on what the Sanatain is. Sanatain literally means 2 years. So this course is a 2-year course in which some topics are discussed. The students come twice a week for 2 years. Alhamdulillah, they have been coming. And they have been taught some of the tafsir of the Quran, wherein the words and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explained. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us in the Quran, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what our purpose for life is. And all of these things have been explained in detail. And then we have the lesson on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where 40 hadith from the famous compilation of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah was discussed and was explained. Along with that, we had adabul muashara, the etiquettes of social life, and some introduction to the sciences of tazkiyah and tasawwuf were also taught in this lesson. And then we had the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we had the tariq, the history of Islam, and some personalities of Islamic history were also discussed, and some fiqh, the Islamic jurisprudence regarding tahara and regarding salah, regarding our commercial transactions. So some of these things were discussed in the lessons, alhamdulillah, in the 2 years. And today we stand here to conclude the 2 years, and the graduation will take place. Alhamdulillah, for that the students have prepared a few things which they will present in front of you. And after that the final talk will take place, inshallah, and then the program will conclude with a dua. So first and foremost, I will call upon one of the students who is graduating today, Hafiz Hussein Badat, to come and recite a portion of the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون والله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم.
JazakAllah to Hafiz Hussain Sahib for the beautiful recitation. Alhamdulillah, as we hear the verses of the Quran being recited in front of us, then the ulama over here will understand that the verses that were recited were such powerful verses, wherein the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were mentioned. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. The doctrine of Tawheed is emphasized again and again in the Quran. That there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada, he knows everything. He knows the unseen. He knows the present. He knows everything that we do. That we do in private, that we do in public. He knows everything about the world. In fact, one companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, يَعْلَمُ مَثَاقِيلَ الْجِبَالِ, that he knows the weight of the mountains. Imagine the mountains, all of them put together. He knows the weight of the mountains. And وَمَكَايِيلَ الْبِحَارِ, he knows the volume of the oceans, how much water is in the oceans. And he knows adada qatri al-amtar. He knows the amount of raindrops that fall. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows adada waraq al-ashjar. The one who knows the amount of leaves that fall from the tree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself in the Quran in many ways. And when we ponder and reflect on these verses, and then we realize who our Creator is. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I did not create insan and jinnat except for my worship. And some scholars of tafsir have mentioned, لِيَعْبُدُونَ means لِيَعْرِفُونَ, so that they may recognize me. So the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through pondering the verses of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself. Moving on, inshallah, now I call upon one of the students who is also graduating, Sadat Abbasi, and he is going to give a brief explanation on one verse of the Quran and one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the glorious Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
Say, O Prophet, if you really love Allah, then follow me, and Allah shall love you and forgive you your sins. Allah is most forgiving, very merciful. On the authority of Abu Muhammad Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As radiyallahu an, who said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you truly believes until his desires are subservient to that which I have brought. In this hadith, we understand an important aspects of subjugating oneself to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person's iman is not complete until he follows those commands and prohibitions that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. Till one's wins and desires do not become subservient to the deen, one cannot be true mu'min. After attesting the nabuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it becomes necessary to adopt his way of life in all aspects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the noble Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 36, it is not for a believing man or a believing woman when Allah and his messengers have decided a matter that they should thereafter have any choice about their affair. All acts of disobedience arise from giving preference to what the self loves over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the ideal worshipper in following their desires in numerous ayah of the noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the noble Quran, Surah Al-Qasas, verse 50, but if they do not respond to you, then know that they only follow their own desires. And who is more astray than one who follows his desires without guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those whose hearts are filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pure and flawless Sharia then becomes second nature to them. Then they reach a stage where their nafs desires only what which Sharia desires from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the noble Quran, Surah An-Naziat, verse 40 and 41, but as for him who feared standing before his Lord and forbade the lower self's inclination, then indeed paradise will be refuge. Dear respected elders and dear brothers, I would conclude on two Urdu share. The one is, Allah ko bhool gaye log fikre rozi mein. Allah ko bhool gaye log fikre rozi mein. Talash risk ki hai aur razik ka khayal hi nahi. Mujhe ye khof de malik, mujhi par hai nazar teri. Mujhe ye khof de malik, mujhi par hai nazar teri. Bas itna hi nahi kaafi ke sajda kar liya maine. Jazakallahu khairan.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah to Sadat bhai for explaining the verses of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in numerous places in the Quran, and even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he mentions, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-mawti. والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله. That the clever person, the intelligent person, is the one who suppresses himself, suppresses his desires, and he acts for the hereafter. You know, all his energy goes in succeeding in the hereafter. He has his priorities right. He understands that this world is temporary, that one day I will have to leave this world. One day I will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the verse which was mentioned, that وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. As for the one who fears standing in front of his Lord and he stops himself from the desires, he stops himself. Why? Because he understands that the most important thing is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama have mentioned that whenever we are about to do something, whenever we are going to start a journey, or whenever we want to do something, then we should see if that thing will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. If it falls under the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or does it fall under the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it falls under the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should go ahead with it. And anything which is going to lead to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a small amount of discipline in this world, and we will see the everlasting benefits in the hereafter. When the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the command of Sharia in front of us, then nothing should be, we should never compromise that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Next, inshallah, I would like to call upon Hafiz Khalid Daji, who is going to explain a hadith on steadfastness.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innal ladhina qalu rabbunallahu thumma istaqamu fala khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Indeed, those who have said, "Our Lord is Allah," and then remained on a right course, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. An Abi Amr radiallahu anhu wa kila Abi Amr Sufyan bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu qal, Qultu ya Rasulallah, Kulli fil Islami qawlan la as'alu anhu ahadan ghayrak. Qal, Qul amantu billahi thumma istaqim. Brief explanation of the hadith. In this hadith, we understand that Sufyan bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu makes a request to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach him some comprehensive words concerning the matter of Islam, which would be sufficient that would not need anything else after that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Say I have iman in Allah, and then go straight ahead and then be steadfast on it." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Say I have iman in Allah, and then go straight ahead and then be steadfast on it." This all-embracing advice covers all aspects of our deen, more especially our beliefs, aqidah, and our actions, amal. Amantu billah, I brought iman in Allah, affirming thereby one has become a true believer and has accepted all the fundamental beliefs of deen. One will fulfill the demands of deen by adopting the qualities of a believer and will become steadfast on every condition and every occasion. One will unswervingly continue to discharge the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. O you who have believed, enter into Islam completely and perfectly, and do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. One should remain conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and avoid Allah ta'ala's disobedience and maintain firmness in executing the demands of Iman and Islam without leaving any commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or being deceitful in any way. Remaining steadfast or practicing means staying firm on the straight path without turning to the left or right. It means obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, avoiding sins and staying sincere in our actions. Steadfastness is about consistency, praying daily, avoiding dishonesty, and trusting Allah even in moments of hardship. It's about sticking to what is right, no matter how difficult it gets. Let us all strive to strengthen our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remain steadfast in our actions. May Allah guide us, grant us sincerity, and keep us firm on the straight path.
JazakAllah to Hafiz Khalid Sahib for explaining regarding steadfastness. Like the verse of the Quran which was mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that indeed those who say that our Rabb is Allah. And this is all of us. You know, we all have made the declaration of faith. We all say لا إله إلا الله. And as soon as we say لا إله إلا الله and we declare that we are believers, then in reality what we are saying is that we are going to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of us, then we are going to respond to that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this in essence is istiqamah. Istiqamah means to remain steadfast. So the sahabi who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a comprehensive advice, you know, this was the practice of the sahaba, that they would go and ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for something which would make their path to Jannah easy. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked that, tell me something so comprehensive that I won't have to ask anyone after you. One advice. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Say, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then remain steadfast on this. And if you remain steadfast, you stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you carry out your fara'id, your wajibat, then inshallah you will enter into Jannah. Next, inshallah, I would like to call Dr. Atiq Patel, inshallah, who is going to give us a prophetic description and also a poem.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Balagha al-ula bi kamalihi, kashafa ad-duja bi jamalihi, hasunat jami'u khisalihi, sallu alayhi wa alihi. For his face that shone like the sun and moon, for the smile that lightened a darkened room, for his life that turned night to brightest noon, send peace on him and his family. As his hands brought fragrance to all they touched, with a perfume sweeter than rose or musk, his remembrance perfumes the dawn and dusk, send peace on him and his family. بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. For his hair that shone ebony and black, that like streams cascaded towards his neck, for the seal of prophecy upon his back, send peace on him and his family. For his teeth that shone with a diamond's gleam, for his neck like silver and ivory, for his wisdom priceless beyond all things, send peace on him and his family. بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. For his hands that toiled yet were smooth and soft, for his feet that swelled as he worshipped God, for the marks on his back that brought tears to Umar, send peace on him and his family. When his blessed body was pierced by rocks, with blood streaming forth, he gave this response, O Allah, forgive them, for they know not. Send peace on him and his family. بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ.
For his name is Ahmad and Muhammad, he is praised in heaven and praised on earth. Though no praise can reach to his true worth, send peace on him and his family. All who came to him were in awe of him. All who stayed with him fell in love with him. Oh, how fortunate to have been one of them. Send peace on him and his family. بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجا بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of a medium height. Between his broad shoulders was the seal of the prophethood. His perspiration smelled sweeter than musk. His hair was wavy and flowing, his face slightly rounded. His skin was fair with some redness, and his eyes were very dark with long eyelashes. His laugh was mostly a smile. At that moment, his blessed front teeth glittered. No one smiled more than him. He was more handsome, beautiful, and radiant than the full moon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Ahzab, O Prophet, we have sent you as a witness and a bearer of good news, and a warner inviting to Allah with his permission, and an illuminating lamp. His tongue was always moist with the remembrance of Allah from the moment he woke to the time he slept. He would weep during the prayer and on hearing recitation of the Quran. He always greatly appreciated the blessings of Allah. His speech was the most truthful of speech, and he only spoke that which was necessary. He was not short-tempered, nor did he disgrace anyone. He did not avenge a bad deed with a bad deed, but forgave it and thereafter did not even mention it. Again from Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, you have an excellent role model in the Messenger of Allah. The one with the high status in his eyes was the person who considered, comforted, and helped Allah's creation the most. Whatever he had himself would be distributed to the poor and needy, the fire not being lit in the home for months at a time, his family surviving on dates and water. He would sew and patch his own clothes, repair his shoes, and sweep the house. He divided his time into three parts, the first for Allah, the second for his family, and the third for himself, of which he spent most listening to and helping others. Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, and we have not sent you except as a mercy to the worlds. His gatherings were the gatherings of knowledge, modesty, patience, and honesty. Each person would think they were the most honored of his guests. He would joke with his family and companions and ask their opinion on important matters. He would greet children, smiling and laughing with them. He would eat sitting on the ground with slaves. Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, indeed, Allah showers his blessings upon the Prophet, and his angels pray for him. O believers, invoke Allah's blessings upon him and salute him with worthy greetings of peace. O Allah, shower peace and blessings upon our master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and true followers, and upon all your prophets and messengers. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah to Dr. Atiq Sahib. Before we move on, we just need one vehicle moved. BN11YUE. Could you move your vehicle as soon as possible? It's causing inconvenience. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our master, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Really, this is something that we need to really reflect on. Now, our claim is that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we hardly know about the person who we claim to love. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Like it was mentioned earlier, and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like it was mentioned in the Jumu'ah bayan as well, that now we have holidays. We are with our children, we have some free time. You know, we are always complaining that we are too busy, we have work, we have this, we have that, and by the time we come back from work, then the children are in maktab and we don't get to spend much time with them. And like I have mentioned earlier as well, that instead of spending, when we are spending time with them, then instead of spending that time with them in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try and spend time with them in a way which will be fruitful for all of us, which will be beneficial, which will bring barakah and blessings. Why not do a reading of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the holidays with our children, where we will learn and they will learn, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend. So the greatest injustice that unfortunately we do is that we hardly know anything about our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the physical features of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the way and the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know a few ahadith, a few incidents here and there, but really the sacrifice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for all of us, so that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could reach us, the minimum that we could do is at least read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then try and bring the sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives. One other thing which has been mentioned by the ulama, and which is also the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to send durood, salutations and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is mentioned, we should try and say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, in one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-bakhilu man dhukirtu 'indahu wa lam yusalli 'alayya." That the true miser is the one near whom my name is mentioned and he does not say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't send salutation upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, next I would like to call upon Ismail Bhai Patel, and he is going to tell us some benefits of Durood Sharif.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today I will be talking on two topics. Firstly, on Durood, its virtues and benefits, and secondly, on my journey and what inspired me to do Salatain course. I'm going to begin with Durood first. The most important and foremost virtue of Durood is the command and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, Surah 33 Al-Azab, Ayah 56, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Verily, Allah and His angels confer blessings on the Prophet. O you who believe, invoke blessing on him and greet him with worthy greeting of peace. The profound benefits of Durood, also known as Salawat, is a powerful and deeply meaningful practice in Islam. It involves invoking blessings and peace upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This practice is a source of great spiritual, emotional and worldly benefits, and it holds a special place in the hearts of all Muslims. There are many benefits of reciting Durood, but I'm only going to touch on three key benefits. And let's explore these benefits in more detail. Number one, strengthening our love and connection with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we recite Durood, we are expressing our love and reverence for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam teaches that the love for the Prophet is an essential part of our faith. Through Durood, we are reminded of the Prophet's noble qualities, his mercy, his patience, and his exemplary character. This act helps foster a closer bond with him and in turn deepens our connection with Islam itself. Number two, receiving blessings and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The practice of sending blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a direct way of seeking Allah's blessing. There are numerous hadith that indicates the immense reward of reciting Durood. Sayyidina Abu Huraira narrates that the Messenger of Allah said, "Whoever invokes one blessing upon me, Allah will confer 10 blessings." Sahih Muslim. This means that every time we recite Durood, Allah rewards us tenfold. These blessings encompasses forgiveness of sins, the elevation of our status, and mercy from Allah. Number three, the intercession on the Day of Judgment. One of the greatest benefits of reciting Durood is the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. It is believed that anybody who regularly sends blessing upon him will receive his intercession when they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of reckoning. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sends blessing upon me, I will intercede for him on the day of judgment. Sunnah al-Tirmidhi. The intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a source of immense hope for Muslims, as it can help secure salvation and forgiveness from Allah, making durood an essential part of our prayers and supplication. So in conclusion, durood is a simple yet powerful practice that brings immense reward, both in this world and the hereafter. It strengthens our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brings Allah's blessings and mercy, purifies our soul, and serves as a means of protection, intercession, and fulfillment of our needs. Reciting durood regularly is one of the best ways to gain spiritual closeness to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah, while also ensuring that we receive Allah's grace in our lives. There are only two ibadahs that are guaranteed acceptance. One is the durood, and two is the ittiba'i sunnah. Now, if we were to incorporate durood in our daily routine, we can lead to a life filled with blessings, peace, and divine guidance. May we all strive to recite it often and experience the countless benefit it brings. Ameen. I am going to conclude leaving this very simple durood, which we can all take away today and adopt in our daily prayers. It is said that when a person recites this durood, 70 angels will write reward for him for 1,000 days. The durood is as follows. Zazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahlu. Meaning, may Allah reward Muhammad on our behalf such that he is deserving of. Narrated in Tablighi. So just think of the reward one will receive by reciting this durood alone. So if anyone can just take away this durood and make a habit of reciting every day, Jazakallah khair. Right, second part now. Second part is going to be on my own journey and what inspired me to do the Sanitain course. Now, I'm honored to share my journey of taking the Sanitain course, the decision that turned out to be truly enriching. It all began with my son-in-law, Hafiz Riaz, who was first in our family to take the course. He gained valuable insight, and it was clear that the course had made a positive impact on him. However, at that time, I wasn't convinced, and it was something I needed to do myself. My daughters, who had heard about the course from Hafiz Riaz, started encouraging me. But the real turning point came when my late brother, Dr. Imtiaz, decided to take the Sanitain course. Dr. Imtiaz spoke about the dini knowledge he attained and how spiritually uplifting it was. So I reached out to Maulana Sahib, who is also my cousin, for more information. He assured me that the course was manageable and relaxed, make it accessible for everyone. After hearing this, I decided to enroll on the Sanitain course, and alhamdulillah, I am so glad that I did. The course turned out to be an incredibly rewarding experience. The teaching were not only informative, but also deeply practical and spiritually uplifting. I was able to reflect on the material in a meaningful way, and it was certainly enhanced my understanding of life and my spiritual experience and practices. I, along with my colleague in my class, would also like to take a moment to express our deep gratitude to our ustaz, Mufti Sajid Sahib, Maulana Munir Sahib, Maulana Said Sahib, and Maulana Sahib Sahib. Their dedication to giving up their time in the evening, often after a long day, was remarkable. They imparted the knowledge with patience and guidance, always encouraging us to engage and reflect. Their support made the learning experience much richer and more fulfilling, and we are deeply thankful for the effort they have put in ensuring the benefit for the course. Furthermore, I would like to mention Masjid Quba and the managing committee here for providing us the facilities to partake on this course. From the moment we entered, we felt a sense of peace and tranquility. The masjid provided the perfect environment for learning and reflection, helping us focus and grow spiritually. In conclusion, I would highly recommend the Sanitain course to anyone looking to deepen their knowledge, grow spiritually, and be part of a supportive community. It's an experience that I believe will benefit everyone, regardless of where they are in the spiritual journey. I am truly grateful for this opportunity, and I encourage others to take part if they have the chance. So, JazakAllah khair for listening. Take away his mic.
JazakAllah to Ismail Bhai for giving us the benefits of Durood Sharif. Again, this is something which we should make a daily practice. that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ulama have mentioned that we should try a minimum of 300 times a day. And really, this is not difficult. 300 times, the shortest durood is sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the best durood is the durood that we read in salah, which was taught to the sahaba by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we can, we should try and read 300 times. If not, then set a target for yourself. 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening is also proven from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is also an authentic practice. So maybe we can start with that and then increase 100 times, 200 times, 300 times. You know, someone was saying that in terms of the dunya, we are never content. We always want more. In terms of the dunya, when it comes to the world, then we are never content. We always want more. But when it comes to deen, when it comes to deen and practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are content very quickly. So we only look at the basic bare minimum and that's it. And even in terms of the journey of knowledge, you know, many of us went to Maktab, alhamdulillah. And we think that the education and the knowledge that we received in Maktab is sufficient. You know, when we went to Maktab, we were immature. Many things we didn't understand. Many things we didn't fully take in. When we grow older and we mature, we understand more. We understand the challenges of life. Then this is the time when we really need the knowledge and we really need the guidance and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at this time, what happens is now shaitan comes to us and shaitan deceives us. And shaitan says, you are too busy. You have enough knowledge. You know, you have the basic knowledge. You know how to pray salah. You know how to do this. You know how to do that. And like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, that the biggest effort of shaitan is stopping a person from gaining knowledge. Why? Because when shaitan stops a person from gaining knowledge, then this person remains ignorant until the day he dies. The person remains ignorant of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remains ignorant of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remains ignorant of the message of the Quran, remains ignorant with regards to his entire life. You know, his entire life is full of jahala and also remains ignorant to the deception of shaitan and the way shaitan works. So his entire life is full of jahala, is full of ignorance, because he stopped his journey of knowledge at the age of 14. And now shaitan plays him throughout his life. And shaitan does not allow him and does not let him come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whoever treads the path of knowledge, whoever treads the path of knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path of Jannah easy for him. What does this mean? It means that if you gain knowledge, if you seek knowledge, if you continue the journey of knowledge, then you will understand and you will be able to navigate your way to Jannah. And on the contrary, if we are stopping our journey of knowledge at the age of 40, and then the only information and the only knowledge we are gaining is the knowledge of the world, and the knowledge of deen has stopped, then our chances of reaching Jannah, we are limiting our chances of reaching Jannah. So an intelligent person is that person who continues the journey of knowledge. Alhamdulillah, as we have seen, many senior individuals from the community, they have graduated, they have come for 2 years, and we have seen the benefit that they have gained in their lives, that many of their lives have changed just because of coming 1 or 2 days a week for 2 years. And alhamdulillah, you know, in our community, in Batley, in Dewsbury, we have hundreds of ulama, and ulama who are ready to give their time. And these courses are available everywhere. It's not just this masjid. All the masajid have some level of courses going on. And it's up to us that we take benefit. Many communities around the country, they are thirsty for ulama. They don't have anyone to go to. We have ulama in our midst, our presence. Alhamdulillah. So we should take benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Moving on, inshallah, I would like to call Hafiz Hussain Saab again to explain the importance of Islamic history.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This short speech of mine will focus on the significance of studying Islamic history. Specifically, how can we take pride in our history? What lessons can we learn from the past? And how can this knowledge inspire the future? On Monday evenings with Maulana Munib, we studied Islamic history. In our classes, we initially focused on the fascinating lives of the early Khalifas, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum, as well as touching upon other prominent figures throughout our rich history. We experienced inspiring stories of faith, courage, wisdom, and unshakable devotion to Allah. We didn't just learn about the past, we lived and breathed it. To me, those lessons were about trying to figure out our collective identity. Who are we as Muslims? Where do we come from? How have we got here? And how can we confront the challenges that we currently face and utilize the past to help us tackle with those which are yet to come in the future? So how can we take pride in our history? We live in a time where our identity as Muslims is often being challenged, whether that be in the classrooms, at school, or by the public and the media. By learning about Islamic history, it strengthens our notion of pride and belonging. It's a reminder that Islam is much more than a religion of do's and don'ts. Instead, it's the complete way of life that to this day impacts the world in fields such as science, philosophy, or politics, to name a few. So what lessons can we learn from the past? We're learning about history, we realize that it's an abundant treasure chest of lessons. For example, consider our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslims. They faced extreme challenges in Mecca. From studying these events, we learn about their perseverance, trust in Allah, and commitment to the truth, which ultimately led to the successful period of Medina. We can take all sorts of lessons from any period. Look at the story of Salahuddin Ayyubi, who we also studied in class. He liberated Al-Quds Jerusalem, not with carnage and bloodshed, but with justice and mercy. His conduct and character teaches us that success is not just about winning battles and defeating the enemy. It's about upholding consistent values which will echo throughout time. Therefore, by studying these events, we learn about all these wonderful tools that we can use in our lives, such as resilience, patience, and the importance of standing firm to our principles, no matter what the circumstances are. How can we study history to help us with the future? A glorious period that we all should be aware about was the Golden Age of Islam. This was a prosperous time when Muslims were the face of innovations in science, maths, unity and progress. This era displays exactly what's possible when we unite under the banner of Tawheed and the amount of potential that we all contain when we dedicate ourselves to the betterment of humanity. In today's chaotic world, we can pull inspiration from the unity displayed during this golden age, where Muslims from diverse cultures and backgrounds work together under a common cause. So to conclude, Islamic history is not just about dates and events. It's a living legacy that we should grab and apply with both hands. It inspires us to be better human beings and, most importantly, better Muslims. We should all carve some time out of our day to study it, reflect on what it's trying to tell us, and teach it to others, especially the next generation. Jazakallah khair for listening.
JazakAllah to Hafiz Hussain for explaining the importance of Islamic history and also our Islamic identity. Moving on, inshallah, I would like to call our Ghulam Bhai Shabbir, who is going to deliver a speech regarding ilm.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected brothers and elders and ulamas, It's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is gathered here for this noble cause, which I'll start by saying how I got into the effort. It was just that I was sitting in one of the majlises, some ulama's majlis, and I was thinking, they were saying that a person who is not learning deen, that means he's educated. And then when I looked at the ulama's, how can you be more educated than Mawlana Abdul Rauf or Mufti Sahib or any other Mufti Sahib? So that's why I started the course and asked a few ulamas, is there any courses going? And then, alhamdulillah, I got joined the course. The topic is that ilm. How is ilm? You say how is ilm is very important. You say for everything we do, ilm, it says you have to strive for knowledge. You see, if Sahih Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, if he didn't strive, look how much effort he made. He traveled by foot because there were no transport in them days. And how many countries he went to, and he strived for deen. If he didn't strive, today you see how many ulmas would have graduated. Today we should have to strive in the path of Allah, and to go for deen. Because wherever we are, we should think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is he doing in this effort? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Same as if we go in the masjid, what is the requirement of the masjid? Or if you're in the shopping mall or whatever you are, if you're going somewhere else, we have to look at, before we do anything, we should look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did or the sahabas did. So look, even you see the sahabas, they said they strive so much, they had so much zeal for the knowledge. They said this, one of the sahabis, he said he traveled so many months by foot to go to listen to one hadith. Today may Allah forgive us, we are going opposite. Today they make Alan in the masjid, and what are we doing? Because that's why the Ummah is getting astray. We're leading, because we're doing the opposite direction to what the Sahabas did. They strived for this, for us, to bring the deen to us. And what are we doing? We're doing the opposite. That's why all the halat and everything, efforts are coming up, because we're following the Christians or the non-Muslims. That's why all the halats are coming. Today, we say the Sahabas, they get so much. There's so much punishment. They say you're reading the Quran and everything. How much punishment there? Look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Taif. How much grief he did, and he was doing it for Deen. Say if the Sahabas, if they stopped in Makkah Medina, so much ajr for the namaz there. If they didn't strive to Asia, where would we be today? So that's we should strive ourselves and go and seek Deen. Because if we don't seek deen, deen will stop. Same as I was saying, if we don't, it's like water. The river is going. Once the river is going, that means the knowledge of the river is going. Once it stops, then what happens? It is same, inshallah. If we don't strive ourselves, same thing will happen to us. We'll think about it, even if we don't know. Same as some people, even the elders, they're stopping. Because they're saying, come to the path of Allah. They don't want to go. Because they're saying, we don't want to go. Sahabas, they strive so much. They give their whole life. They didn't say, oh no, I'm not going because of this, or and they made an excuse or something. Today we make so many excuses that I can't do this, I can't do that. You have to look at what Sahabas did. They didn't strive for it because they knew what was they was going to get. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how much effort he made on himself and Ummah. And even when he passed away, he was still saying, my Ummah. Because he was worried. Today, so we go in dunya, we look at the people. Today we say Muslim. May Allah forgive us, we are Muslims by name. Because we're doing so much, we're going the opposite direction. Today, even when you say even to the non-Muslim, I'm Muslim, this Muslim, don't want to be associated. Because what we do is everything different. Because we're not going by the following of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything's going opposite. That's why, because we're getting bad name, bad reputation everywhere. Because we're not doing what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to do, and the Sahabas did. They strive, they did their whole life. They give their whole life for this. They didn't think that, my shop is going to be closed, or my business is going to stop, or my home is not going to run, or my bills is not going to be paid. Because they had everything. They had to do with that as well. One of the Sahabis, they said he went in the path of Allah for 30 years. Today, they give us a tashkil, they say, 4 months or 3 days, we haven't got time, I'm going this, I've got this. What is this? What is important? is deen not important, or is that deen is second class? Because we, our dunya is first. Unfortunately, that's what we're making now. Because sometimes they say, oh, my business is going to stop. This shop is going to close. What am I going to do with my shop? Because I'll have to close the shop and everything is... But and how's my home going to run? How's everything? Because we made effort, so much effort on dunya. If we had done what the Quran says, and you know, everything. Because everything is written in the Quran. Today we're not following the Quran. You know, in the Sahaba's time, they said the Quran. They said that person walking there, that's the Quran. Today may Allah forgive us, they ask us, where's the Quran? We go in the cupboard, we open the cupboard and blow the dust out. This is the Quran. Because we, unfortunately, we haven't got time because we're that much engulfed in dunya that we'll read it once a year when it's Ramadan. We're praying this much. We're praying this, we're going this one. They say some, one officer will say, no, I prayed twice, three Qurans or four times or five times or 10 Qurans in Ramadan. But it's not about reading Quran, it's about acting upon what's in the Quran. Because today we are not acting upon, because we haven't done that. Yeah? The Sahabas, that's what the first thing they did was, they read the Quran and it was revealed to them and they acted upon it. And they gave their whole life for it because they knew what it was. That's why they were saying there was a walking Quran there. Yeah? Today, that's why everything, you know, is because we're not practicing ourselves and we're stopping other people from practicing. Because we ourselves, we don't want to go in the path of Allah or anywhere or to strive for deen. Yeah? Because it is not my property. They say, oh, I'm busy. I haven't got time. Don't worry about this. The brother is this, to take forward. This is that if we don't go, our children won't go. And our children and grandchildren won't go. What is going to happen about deen? I mean, you look at the history of Spain. How many Muslims, how many years ago there were Islam was there and they're not what is now? Unfortunately, it'll come here as well if we don't do. And we're building the masjids, alhamdulillah, beautiful masjids. But we don't have time. And you look at Asr Salah or Zohar Salah, there's nobody here. Because we're thinking dunya. You know, Muazzin is calling. He's calling every time, come to success. And what we're saying, I'm going to the shop. I've got this to do, I've got that to do. What difference is that going to do? When we go in the path, when we go to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are we going to say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm sorry, I did this, I had to go this. He's not going to ask that. He's not going to ask what your bank balance was or how many limousines you had or how many big palaces you built or houses you had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask what was the condition of your salah? What is your salah? Because that's the first thing. Even the sahabas, when they go in the grave, they used to cry. And they used to say, why are you crying? Even the non-Muslims going past, they were crying. Because they said, Allah, Sahaba is a non-Muslim. He says, he's my ummati. Is he not my ummati? And he cried. Today, may Allah forgive us, we go to Kabistan, and what is our situation? We're laughing and joking, we're on the WhatsApp or what have you, taking pictures. Today we're doing the opposite. Because the dunya is that engulfed in us, that we don't look at other things. We don't look at deen, what he's asking. Even madrasa, you know, maktab, the children come in, we leave them at the door and say, there's children there. And it's up to the ulamas, it's like a babysitter. We're treating as a babysitter. And then we give them 2 hours, then what are we going to do? We're engulfed in dunya, the parents engulfed in dunya, my child is gone, free time. Today we don't think, ask the ulama, how is my child doing? Because that is our future. Our child is our future, because if he doesn't pray, or if he doesn't do right, what's going to happen? That's as Mufti Sahib was saying, at 14 he doesn't stop there. Because if he stops there, what's going to happen? Because the dunya is going to go. The shaitan and all the vile things we're going to do is going to engulf us. Because dunya is very vile. Because if you don't do, if you don't follow the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quran, what's going to happen? Today, may Allah forgive us, you know, everything you see is bad names. Don't is like a Muslim. They say he's a Muslim so-and-so. They don't say his name. But somebody else is doing it? No. So we have to go in the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we strive ourselves in the path of Allah. Because if we don't do it, it's going to stop and nothing's going to happen. The masjids will be closed and everything will be like the COVID. Because we didn't practice. So we have to practice, take time out ourselves, teach our children and grandchildren what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And then, inshallah, the work will carry on. Jazakallah khair. May Allah give us the tawfiq to act upon what's been said. Jazakallah khair.
Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Al-ilmu khairun min ad-dunya. That ilm and knowledge is better than the world. And then he gave the reason for it. He said, because al-ilmu yahrusuk. Al-ilmu yahrusuk. Wal-dunya anta tahrusuhu. That ilm and knowledge is something which protects you, which guards you. So throughout your life, if you have knowledge, this knowledge will guard you, will protect you. But the dunya is something which you will have to guard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding. Now finally, I call upon Dr. Ashraf Lahesab, who is going to give us a short speech on istighfar, inshallah. And thereafter, the main speech will take place and the concluding dua. Jazakallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters may be listening at home. It's a great pleasure for me, for having completed this Sanatine course, Alhamdulillah, it's made my day. As they say, I had a dream years ago, and my dream was to complete my university studies and go for an Alim course. Alhamdulillah, in 1976, I completed my medical degree. And then for 3 years, I was doing an Arabic course part-time, Nahf and Surf, with the intention of going to Darul Uloom in Azhar. So in 1979, I ventured to Cairo, registered myself with Jamia Azhar for the full Alim course, 7-year course. Unfortunately, after about a month or so, I had to come back to UK because my father, who was sick at the moment with heart problems. So I had to come back for him. And when I come back, then he sort of didn't want me to go back because he said, if something happens to me, you'll miss out on it. After that, I was looking for any part-time course in London if they had any Darul Uloom course. But unfortunately, at that time in the 70s, 80s, up to early 90s, they had no course over there. Until the late 90s, they started doing part-time course in Alimia, which was a bit too late because I was busy with my studies and my work and so on. So that's why I'm grateful for having retired now from my medical profession to come here to Bartley from London and had the opportunity here to do the course in Masjid al-Quba. So I'm thankful to the staff for having organized this course and for the ustad who carried out the full implementation of the courses. It's a great learning circle because Islam is something which is never ending. You can always learn more about Islam, whether it's the Quran, fiqh, tafsir, hadith, or whatever. And I have a great interest in Islam. In fact, I've been reading books all my life in Arabic, in English, in Gujarati, in Urdu, to learn something about Islam. So Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy to be here today. Thanks again to the Masjid Quba. Now to come back to the main subject, istighfar. What is istighfar? Some people, when they finish their namaz or whatever, they just recite quickly, istighfar, 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 istighfar. That's not the way to do it. You should do it from the heart. It should come out from the heart, saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, and so on. There are a number of istighfar which you can do. The simplest, of course, is Astaghfar. Then Astaghfirullah al-Aliyyul Azim. Astaghfirullah al-Aliyyul Azim wa atubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayyul Qayyum wa atubu ilayh. And of course, the main istighfar is the Sayyidul Istighfar, which is a bit long. I'm not going to recite it now, but you can check it on the internet. It's called Sayyidul Istighfar, And the great benefits of this istighfar. If you look into it, even if you recite once a day, it brings great benefit to you. And especially in the old times, like Hasan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was asked by three people, what shall I do if I have no children? So he said, recite istighfar. A second person came along. He said, what shall I do because I have poverty? I have no food in my home. So again, he replied, recite istighfar. A third person came and he says, we have no rain. He said, we have drought in our area. So he replied, recite istighfar. Now the students of Hasan Basri were surprised. So they asked him, how come for all three questions you replied the same answer, istighfar? So he said to them, by reciting istighfar, you get great benefit. And whatever you want in life, just recite istighfar. There are many examples which I've seen personally in my life. There was one case in America where a woman had a grandchild, a daughter, and she had cancer of the left eye. So the left eye was taken out because it was spreading. They had a fear it might spread into the right eye. And sure enough, after removing the left eye, it spread to the right eye. So somebody told her, recite istighfar 100,000 times. So she had the courage to recite istighfar 100,000 times. And alhamdulillah, when she went back to the hospital to have it checked, they found out that the cancer is no longer there. It had vanished completely. She was cured from cancer. So that's the great benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many benefits. Especially for the youngsters, if you want a good job, recite istighfar. A good house, recite istighfar. A good spouse, recite istighfar. Whatever you want in life, recite istighfar. The great benefits of istighfar. And as I said, the main istighfar is the Sayyid al-Istighfar. And also, there's a saying that if you want to be doing istighfar properly, as I said earlier, recite it through your heart with khushu, because otherwise it doesn't mean anything at all. If you don't do it through the heart, your sins, whatever they are, will not be forgiven. And we know we are all sinful. The youngsters, the old people, everybody is sinful. We have committed so many sins. We don't realize we commit so many sins. Everything we do each day, there's bound to be one or two sins in that. You tell a white lie, that's a sin. You promise something to somebody, you don't go there, that's a sin, Islamically. So to make sure that you don't do all these things, you should keep on reciting istighfar. And there are other cases, as I said, in Islamic history as well. One of the Sahaba was asked, what's the best way to do it? So he says, first of all, recite istighfar from bottom of your heart, and then have a following of the true sunnah of the Prophet. If you follow the sunnah of the Prophet, inshallah, that will guide you in the right directions. And make sure that you recite plenty of durood as well at the same time. So these three conditions, then it helps you for istighfar and helps you clear all the sins. The sins, as I said, we have so many sins in our life. We should all do istighfar first, and then at the same time later on, do tawbah. Now, the best way to do tawbah is do 2 rakat of nafl namaz, and at the end of it, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of your heart that, oh Allah, I've committed this sin. Please forgive me. From now on, I won't be doing the same sin again. So this is the benefit of tawbah as well. And they go hand in hand. Istighfar must be done first, and then tawbah. And each day you do a number of times istighfar. After every salah, you can do istighfar. While you're walking on the streets, you can do istighfar. While you're traveling on the bus, you can do istighfar. While you're moving in your car, you can do istighfar. But do it from the bottom of the heart. Don't just give lip service, because that, as I said, is not acceptable to Allah. So inshallah, I request all my brothers and sisters to do istighfar as many times as possible. And hopefully, we'll be cleared of the sins. Hopefully, will be admitted to Jannah, inshallah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the best to you. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله. On this occasion, many of the students who have attended the Sanatain course have elaborated and explained many different topics. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to bring into action many of the things that we have been reminded about today. I'm going to, inshallah, try and keep this as brief as possible, about 10 minutes, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first verses to be revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what I have just recited, that read in the name of your Rabb who created, who has created the human being from a clot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the most generous, and read in His name. So from these verses, one of the things that we understand is the importance of reading, learning, and educating oneself to increase our knowledge, to increase our knowledge of deen, to increase our knowledge of even worldly matters, just like a person increases his knowledge on his affairs pertaining to tax. How can he not tax? There's two types, tax avoidance and tax evasion. So tax avoidance, which is allowed, and tax evasion, which isn't allowed. So to increase your knowledge about tax avoidance, you'll go see an accountant. You'll go and make sure that you have the knowledge to make sure that you can avoid the tax where it's possible within the parameters of the law. So this is also important, because then you will have more money in your pocket so that you can spend on your family, you can spend on good causes, and ultimately you can increase your Jannah and the size of your Jannah, because you can do more charity. So in the same way, and if not more importantly, one has to increase his knowledge of deen. One has to increase his knowledge of deen. Tisaji Sahib just mentioned in narration, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ إِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَوْ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once there was a tabi'i by the name of Kathir ibn Qais or Qais ibn Kathir, and they were sat in Damascus. And one person came from Medina Munawwara, whilst Kathir ibn Qais or Qais ibn Kathir, he is sat there in the company of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this person comes from Medina Munawwara, and he comes into the masjid, and he says to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu that I've come for one narration. So in those days, the system was such that you would have to travel to hear a narration from the person who was the narrator, who heard it from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or who heard it from the companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as time went on. So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that, have you come solely for this purpose, that you have come to hear the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So he says, yes, that's the only reason. Said that there's no reason, that no business reason or no other reason that you've come to buy something from Damascus or acquire something. He says, no, just the sole reason is that I have heard that you have one narration from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to hear it from you. So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu then narrated this narration that, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَوْ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. At the person who traverses the path of knowledge, and ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the journey to Jannah easy for him. Now, there's a car that's blocking the driveway across the road. SM64UMW. SM64UMW. Can this be moved promptly? Jazakallah. SM64UMW. So a person who traverses the path of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him to traverse the path to Jannah. So ultimately, many a times we sit in a talk. You know, we are sat here today on a Friday. We learn something, and it's information that we receive. Information that we receive, it's knowledge that we receive. But why is it that this information doesn't become or doesn't serve as transformation in our life? Why is it that this information doesn't serve as transforming our life? We have just now,
We have heard that reciting istighfar, we have heard the importance of reciting Durood Sharif, we have heard the importance of changing our mindset and all of these things. But how many times do we leave a talk and thereafter it brings some level of change into our life? We need to ask that question to ourselves individually, self-awareness, that how many times do I then go home and think, okay, from today now I'm going to read Durood Sharif 300 times every day at this time. Part of my regimen is going to be 300 Durood Sharif on a daily basis. So how do we make this information transformation? How do we transform our lives through the knowledge that we acquire? And sometimes, you know, we think that, and it can take time and guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that we need to do is ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Ya Allah, right now, in our heart, not verbally, in our heart, speak to Allah ta'ala. That Ya Allah, I am sat here right now and I have so much knowledge that I have heard today and I will retain a certain percentage of it. Ya Allah, the knowledge that I retain, make it that knowledge that's going to be beneficial for me to bring into my life. And Ya Allah, guide me to bring it into my life. Guide me and assist me to change and transform my life by the information that's going to come into my heart and has come into my heart. Because ultimately, without guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot do anything. Without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the benefit of this is, right now, at this moment, every single one of us who is connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I guarantee you, some of us will do it, some of us won't. Again, why? It's from Allah. The individual that will be speaking to Allah ta'ala right now through his heart, it won't be everybody. Because Allah ta'ala will choose. So you may think, no, but it's up to me. The reality is, yes, to a certain degree. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one to guide us. So again, we should ask for guidance from Allah ta'ala. If it's not coming in our heart, ask verbally. Ya Allah, guide me. Ya Allah, give me the guidance. Ya Allah, give me the, help me to speak to you, to connect with you. Make this information transformational for me. And the benefit of attending a course is that on a weekly basis, you're attending a session whereby we are discussing the ayat of the Quran. We are discussing certain elements of jurisprudence, fiqh. We are discussing the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So drop by drop by drop, it changes something. The mindset of a person changes. How many of the students will come and say that since I have, you know, don't stop the Sanatain course. Whatever you do, don't stop it. Let us carry on. Many of the students will tell us, no, we want to carry on. Why? Because they benefit. They benefit from the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to give you an example of one of the sessions. So towards the end of the session, we were speaking about the life of Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And also Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala. Just in brief, a brief discussion. And then we had a group sort of discussion for which one exercise is pending still due to some unforeseen circumstances we weren't able to complete. And that's what I want to basically mention. That... So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala were influenced by certain individuals, certain things that were said, which then led to them doing what they did from with guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was once told by one of his teachers that if only there was someone who collates all of the authentic narrations and makes this effort and collates all of the authentic narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this was said to him, it sparked something within him. And this was the words. Sometimes we say something. You know, you say something and you don't even realize what effect it's having on individuals that are listening to you. Words are powerful. Same with Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was under the tutelage of Nuruddin Zangi and others. And he was also someone who was influenced by these individuals to ultimately free Masjid al-Aqsa and Jerusalem. So we were mentioning, and we had this exercise where in groups we discussed the vision of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala, his ability to unite individuals despite the differences and other elements. So one point that came out was the importance of planting a seed. So one of the groups said that we need to plant a seed in the mind of our youngsters. So the follow-up question was, okay, what seed should we plant? And then there was pin drop silence. So we have the ability to think, but we don't think deep enough to be able to then take it on to the next level. So the exercise was, which is now pending at the moment, but that every single person will bring a seed that they want to plant in their generation to come. For example, one seed could be, and examples were given, that one seed could be that, you know, we want to inculcate the love of the Quran. So that's a wonderful, mashallah, that's an amazing intention and ambition to have. But how can one do that? What are the actual transformational, you know, steps that a person can take in order for the love of the Quran to become intergenerational, pass on to the next generation? So we sit in a talk, we'll hear the bayan, mashallah, you know. But do we think on the next level? Are we truly involved in the actual subject matter, the talk? That, okay, if I want to inculcate the love of the Quran in the hearts and minds of my generation to come, then I need to make sure that I sit with the Quran on a daily basis. I need to make sure that I talk about the greatness of the Quran. I need to make sure that I individually, myself, spend time with my children learning the Quran, teaching them the Quran. I invest my time. Then it becomes transformational. Up until then, it's just information, that the importance of the Quran. So whenever we sit in a talk, whenever we take a course, whenever we hear some words from somebody, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to think practically, to think on a level whereby, how can I increase and transform my life through the beautiful teachings of the Quran and Sunnah? Because once a person is able to do that, then he will see change in his life. Then he will see the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he will see, you know, positivity in his life. And this is something that the benefit of sitting in the company of, you know, sitting in the lessons whereby the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explained, and we are going through history and we look through the pious people of the past and who left a legacy, who we still speak about today. And when we really study their life, we see the one core element that we see is their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when they were successful because they were humble. And what was the source of the humility? At times it was the fact that they understood themselves, and they understood that they have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give an account of their deeds. And we see that those individuals that didn't have this awareness, didn't have this quality of understanding, that one day I have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were engrossed in the world, and they were engrossed in the luxuries of the world. They were doomed to failure, and they did fail. And we don't speak about them positively. So ultimately, these lessons that we have, and this ability that we have to join courses, wherever it may be, whichever masjid it is, there is just benefit for us. There is benefit for us. And the wider message, we may not be able to join a course at the moment due to the other commitments we have, jazakallah. The other commitments that we have, because of that, we may not be able to join. However, when we are in a talk on Yawmul Jum'ah, on a Friday, or we are just in a talk, let's think on another level. How can I make this talk transformational for me, for my family? And inshallah, this will then lead to success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to increase our knowledge. And not just increase our knowledge, make amal on our knowledge. That's very, very important. We need to make amal on our knowledge. The knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And when we increase our knowledge, it's like the saying goes that when you come to know, then you realize that you don't know. When you come to know, then you realize that you don't actually know. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of the students. We would like to congratulate all the students as well for their commitment for Monday and Wednesdays when they used to come, mashallah. Commitment for a good 2 years. Inshallah, going forward, there is a plan, and inshallah, information will be released where we will have a sort of hybrid approach in terms of those individuals that want to commit to the 2 years, they can do, but there will also be segments or short courses that will be part of the Senatain in terms of a 6-week course, an 8-week course, a 4-week course, with topics such as Tahara, like Mufti Saji Sahib mentioned, that many a times a lot of the information and the knowledge that we acquired when we were young, we've forgotten that knowledge, a lot of it. Why? Because we were young, we were immature, we didn't have the ability to truly understand, and now we're older and we feel shy. You know, I can't go on. So if we have a facility whereby we can, you know, provide the lessons whereby we can, a recap, revision of the information that we had and the knowledge that we acquired when we were in Maktab. So inshallah, that's something to come from January, inshallah, 2025. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of the students and all of the individuals that are sat here. Inshallah, now we will just hand out the certificates and then we'll have a short dua. The first student is Abdul Rahman Rawat. I think he couldn't attend today. Ghulam Bhai Shabbir. Khalid Abdul Haydaji. Hafiz Ismail Bhai Yusuf Patel. Ismail Ibrahim Patel. Dr. Ashraf Sab Lahe. Dr. Atik Patel. Adam Pando couldn't be here today. Safwan Maulana Imran Daji. Hussein Badat and Muhammad Sadat Abbasi. Inshallah, now we will ask Malala Muhammad Sayyid Sahib to conclude with the dua.
Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa jalla thana'uka wa la ilaha ghayruk. Ya Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azim sultanik. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك سبحان ربي الأعلى العلي الوهاب اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لئن لم يرحمنا ربنا ويغفر لنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها وأولها وآخرها وعلانيتها وسرها اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاكك وعشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم واغفر لموتانا اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم اللهم زدهم ولا تنقصهم ولا تسلط عليهم من لا يخافك فيهم ولا يرحمهم اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Arhamur Rahimin, forgive all of our sins. Oh Allah, forgive all of our shortcomings. Oh Allah, accept all the amal that we have done for you. Oh Allah, whatever deficiencies there have been in our amal, there will be in future. Oh Allah, accept our amal despite the deficiencies. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to carry out that which pleases you at every opportunity. Oh Allah, prevent us, O Allah, save us from laziness in regards to deen. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to gain knowledge. Grant us the tawfiq to practice upon knowledge. Grant us the tawfiq to propagate knowledge. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to learn what pleases you and practice upon it. And grant us the tawfiq to learn what displeases you and stay away from it.
اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل والله those of us those from the entire Muslim Ummah who are undergoing any difficulty, any adversity, any misfortune, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine and other places where they are being oppressed. O Allah, grant mercy to them. O Allah, grant them sabr as long as the adversity lasts and remove the adversity as quick as possible according to your wisdom. O Allah, whatever we have learned up until now, grant us the tawfiq to practice upon it. O Allah, whatever we don't know and you know that we need to know it, grant us the tawfiq to go to those places where we'll gain it. O Allah, grant us and our generations until the day of judgment to connect ourselves, grant us the tawfiq to connect ourselves to ilm, to ulama and to amal. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Inshallah, food has been prepared for everybody. So all brothers are requested to make their way to the classrooms and partake in food before they leave. Jazakallah khairah.